Okay, good evening, everybody. My name is Eddie, whatever you want to call it. It's off the camera. Yeah. I'm going to get to the sermon now. I just want to be real for a moment. Yeah, I just, during worship now, so yeah, I'm going to be preaching tonight, by the way. But during worship tonight, I just asked God, Lord, this is the first time I'm going to be preaching for longer than 5 minutes. I remember at school, I used to dread those orals. When I was Afrikaans, now it's English, even worse, but, or better, maybe. and I just asked the Lord, how can I honor him tonight? And that, I just felt I need to give him first fruits and just to say thank you. I've been in the church for 10 years now, or a member of the church. It's been quite a struggle for me in my heart as a high school kid in Stellenbosch to actually get to that point where I actually, signed the form sort of and said I'm a member of the church, which was a really nice time of my life in grade 11. It was grade 12, actually. I got baptized in grade 11, and grade 12 I committed to the church. And since then it's been a 10-year journey. It's been amazing to see how I've been growing the church. So I'm just going to pray if you guys can just agree with me. Lord, I just want to give you all the glory tonight, Lord, and establish a monument tonight, Lord. Just to say thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness of growing me as a person, Lord, and of your goodness in our lives, Lord. Thank you that you're interested in each one of us, Lord. You want to see us grow. You want to see us established, Lord. I thank you for a church like Shofar, Lord, as well. It's got so much resources, Lord, and so much loving people, Lord, and leadership that's accountable, Lord, to each other and really serves you, Lord. And thank you for them tonight, Lord. Thank you. We can pray even for them, Lord, all the Freds and Lucilles and all the guys in Stellenbosch, Lord, and even Marnus and Janet here in Durban, Lord. We honor them tonight, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness that you have established your church, Lord, that you want to speak through, Lord, and your church as a symbol of relationship with you, Father God, your bride, Lord. Thank you that each one of us can have relationship, Lord, with you and also corporately as a church, Lord. I thank you that we are being purified every day, and I just honor you tonight for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, now you can go back to the previous one. I'll pray again later. Okay, so that, I don't know what you think, what's your first thoughts if you see a butterfly like that? Beautiful. Thank you, my beautiful wife. Anything else? Come on, the pastors aren't here tonight, so we can speak up, eh? Well, it's a golden banded forester. It's not like the forester standing outside the building here, which is also one of a kind. This is a golden banded forester. And if you look at it, it's beautiful. It's something like you've never seen before, eh? maybe beautiful is the best summary to it, but it is really amazing. That's the colors that you see there is micro scales that reflects the light, and that's what gives it the color. So it's not like other paintings or things that you see that's just color. This is reflection of light, so if it dies, the color stays there. That's why it's good to make collections of butterflies. Anyway, I'm not talking about butterflies tonight. But this specific butterfly, just wanted to show you, because I wanted sort of draw a parallel tonight to what my actual sermon is going to be about and what I really have in my heart to share. But this golden banded forester is one of the 60,000 species you get in our country, one of the 160,000 species of Lepidoptera, I think as they call it. The only reason I know these terminologies are because my dad-in-law is an entomologist. I didn't know that term before I met him. insect fungi. This butterfly you only get in one specific area of the universe, or the planet, just below the southern side of Swaziland in the dry sand forests where I used to work. So this was like the ultimate butterfly to see up there. So it's just a small area of our country that you see it. We call it an endemic species. It's something that I want to speak tonight is the confidence in God that we often get wrong. And I'm going to share a lot about my own life as well. Just, sometimes like a lot of my life, if I had to reflect the last few weeks preparing for the sermon, and believe me, there's a lot of preparation going in to preparing for a sermon because you understand the responsibility of preaching. But yeah, I've been seeking affirmation and acceptance a lot in the things that I've been doing my whole life, or most of my life, and the way that people see me. So that affected a lot of, you know, my current emotional state, if I would call it that. Yeah, but I believe God wants to give us a key tonight to overcome that aspect of just looking to the world for our affirmation and our acceptance. There's a place that we step into a confidence that is from God. And that brings me to this amazing new terminology as well, which is not in the dictionary. We actually got this where I originally had another name for the sermon, but I saw this at Bible school. That's why Bible school is good to attend. I don't know if you guys that were at Bible school actually saw this. Godfidence. Saw it? And Todd White had a t-shirt on, and he most of his dreads were hanging over it, so he couldn't really see it until my wife actually mentioned it. So she was like, because she knew what I was going to talk about. Thank you, wife. Yeah, so Godfidence is that confidence in God. So it's a new term that we're going to be using in the church coming up, eh? And yeah, that scripture, be blessed. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. And yeah, so tonight is just a word of encouragement for you. I don't want to have anybody walk out here condemned and challenged and not come back next week when Marnus is back. So I really just want to encourage all of you and testify out of my own life, because I've realized how much of the things that I've been doing the last, I don't know how many years of my life, I've been striving, and yeah, just it's been a journey. But I've done a lot of repentance the last few weeks of this, and I really want to walk free of this confidence in myself and the things that I've done, because I don't know if you guys can associate with anything of us or I would be saying tonight, but often our achievements and our abilities, or our, where we come from, our heritage, our surname, our culture, our experiences from the past, we've done, our job, what we have. You can think of anything now, maybe in your life, that is you're really proud of. And just as a disclaimer, like Manas normally says, there's nothing wrong with being proud of something. There's nothing wrong with being really proud and confident when the Springboks beat the English on the home ground late in this year. But in the World Cup, it's coming up in September. But there's a place that I just, if my experience, Marnus said I can speak anything tonight that's close to my heart, and this is really close to my heart, because it also, I realized it came from a lot of wounds in the past as well that made me look for my identity and that affirmation again from people around me and the things that I've done. But it's ironic, because I'm going to run you through a couple of slides later on just about my life. The last 5 years before I met Jen and we moved to Durban last year, I was in the bush for 5 years and had an amazing experience. But I shouldn't blow into this mic too much. But yeah, a lot of it, like if I even look back before that, before my bush experience at Stellenbosch studying high school, there was times, you know, I would be first team water polo captain, for example. But we would lose all the time, so that didn't boost my confidence that much at all. So even though, like, I had a perfect position to speak into people's lives, I was so intimidated by the situation. I don't know how to do a captain's practice or whatever they call it. Yeah, I was completely overwhelmed by it. Or, you know, you'd be on student council in a prestige school, and yeah, I didn't have any confidence at all when people started tuning me. I had a nickname called Ayer, so I was very intimidated at school, and now I was on the student council, but only because two other guys got expelled before me, so I got onto the student council. I was very fortunate, but I didn't have the confidence. I didn't realize the opportunity that I had to be, I had the matric portfolio, so I was just dealing with all the matrics all the time. But it was such an amazing opportunity, but my confidence levels were so low, and I put my confidence in the natural. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get to tonight, but so much like, I always painted myself a bigger picture. So I saw myself as second best. don't know if any of you can associate with that thing about second best. And I was never first on the podium. I was always second or third or not even on the podium. And that's, I mean, wherever you are, sometimes you challenge yourself and you want to get better. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you want to be the best you can be. But my situations, I allowed myself to be dictated by my situations and where I found myself. And that often led me to feel discouraged and intimidated by the situation and maybe disappointed, or I wrote a couple of things down here, which is not on the slide, so you won't see it there. You guys got to make notes, eh? If you don't have your notepads here, you're going to miss out. Anyway, so my wife is not making notes tonight because she thinks she's going to get the notes from me afterwards. So, normally you all know she's a good, what do you call that, a note taker? What did you say that? Scribe, yes, that's the word. So anyway, so my past led me to a lot of striving and dead works, performance-driven religion, if I can call it that. And even 10 years in the church, I can think about a lot of situations in church. I, for example, did internship at Shofar in Stellenbosch. I know Megan is the first Durban intern, glorified intern slash office manager. But I was just the intern with Duncan, which is not here tonight, unfortunately. And I remember the beginning of internship, you feel so like good about yourself because you sacrificing your whole year to the Lord and you know, you're the man, ironically enough, the way you think. But so I was quite confident about this year and I'm going to serve the Lord and he's going to come through for me. And the first prayer that CS, which led the group sort of, I don't know, most of you have probably met CS, but he's the guy that leads up the team there. And first prayer, he prays for everybody. It's like a lot of blessing prayers. He came to me and he prayed, you know, I'm going to be delivered of strife. And I didn't even know what that meant at that moment. I didn't, just like, what's that, what does that word mean? It was Afrikaans and didn't really understand. But the last 6-7 years of my, since then, I've realized, wow, I've been so stuck in this. And still now even. Yeah, God wants to deliver us of that. And I think, I've written a couple of things down here tonight and some scriptures that will help us to understand this God-fidence thing a bit better. And I hope we can walk out here tonight a bit challenged with that so that we won't put our confidence confidence in man and our own self-righteousness. There's a lot of terminologies to use, and I just want to add on to actually what's been said the last few weeks even. Because, for example, I know a few weeks ago, Janet and Manas have spoken about humanism. And so putting this confidence in yourself and what you can accomplish, that's, in essence, that's humanism. You know, we just start trusting in ourselves, what God can come through fast, and we fall, and then so easily we fall into pride and all those things. And I'm going to add on to what Matthew spoke about 2 weeks ago, about Jesus, just coming back to basics, about the cross, the Messiah, but I don't want to jump ahead of my sermon, so we're going to stick to the notes. Okay, I'm going to have to drink water soon. Hold on. Cheers. Hey, there's even a little stand here tonight. Wow. Thanks, Megan. So, back on the mic. So, there's a reconditioning that needs to take place in our hearts. And that's why I had the butterfly. I'm going to refer to the butterfly throughout the sermon. So, there's a process that butterflies go through. It's called metamorphosis, where they change from a caterpillar into a butterfly that can fly. And some insects are going through metamorphosis like that. Amazingly enough, I read the other day, can carry 50 times their body weight. That's besides the point, but that's just amazing if you think, comparing that to us carrying 2 cars on our arms filled with people. That will be like 50 times our body weight type of thing, you know. That's what some insects can do just by going through this crazy evolution, can't explain it, but metamorphosism. And they transform into this amazing picture that we saw earlier. So I'm gonna go through a couple of things of why we can be God-fident. Why? As Christians, why can we be confident or confident in God? And the fruit or the results of that would be in our lives. Certain just some key aspects that I'll point out. And then ways to grow in it if you guys need some practical advice. Manas has been quite good to teach us some practical pointers. So I'm going to throw that in tonight as well. But I'm going to read a quite a bit of scripture now, and I hope you guys can stay with me. You can either get your own Bibles out. It's Philippians 3. So try to stay with me. Please try not to get too distracted. Okay, beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Now, those people he's referring to here are the legalistic guys, the religious guys, the guys that's got it all together, the self-confident guys and of that time. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. Oh, that is amazing. Are you all awake? Yes. Anyway, so if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. This is Paul talking. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is found in the law, but that which is through Christ, the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being confirmed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. I press forward to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Are you also with me? We're continuing. Okay, I almost finished. Third slide. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even with weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So that's what we want to walk away from, is the setting our mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we are also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Amen. It was a long piece of scripture, but a good one, eh? Amen. So, yes, this rain is amazing. Yes, I'm loving this. I wonder if Manus would have preached tonight, how he would have gone on. Because he's from Namibia, and he's probably going to listen to the sermon afterwards to see that everything was kosher that I said. and apologize next week for it. But I can imagine he'd be so excited, because Namibians, none of you are from Namibia, eh? But they always like rave about the rain. This is amazing. I mean, so Paul, just to the next slide, just to recap, suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish to gain Christ. That's quite extreme, but that's what he said, to gain Christ. So just on the next slide, I'm going to get back into that metamorphosis that I mentioned earlier. That's another butterfly. Another beautiful one, eh? It's just amazing how beautiful they are. So that's a caterpillar. And for me, that speaks of self-righteousness. We just know our own abilities and what we can be, eating leaves. And there are actually some carnivorous caterpillars too, but that's crazy. But then they go into this pupa, and then a couple of weeks or days later, they come out as that beautiful-looking butterfly. Some of them live a few hours, some of them for weeks or months. Depends on which species. But You can decide which butterfly you want to be, in human terms, but that butterfly speaks of Godfidence for me, where he's just absolutely a miracle. It's not, it's beyond himself. It's just a miracle. And I want to trust God for us tonight to walk out here and being open to that process of God transforming our hearts. And that's why I want to get into the next slide, which is why we can have confidence. Can you guys hear me? I need to start speaking louder, eh? We can just sit and listen to the rain if you want. Wow. So why we can have confidence, confidence in God, is the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. So what Paul has said earlier. So Jesus, the reigning Messiah, is set up there, and that acronym that Matthias used, KISS, which I think with all Valentine's month and what love month, you can probably remind, you can remember yourself better. But it actually means keep it simple, stupid. And it just comes back to the cross. Jesus has done it on the cross. It is finished. He has made a way for us to have access to God and to actually be sons and daughters of this King that's the creator of the universe and to actually establish relationship with us. He's done it. And that's as simple as it can get. We make it complicated for ourselves, but he has done it. So, and then, yeah, with that, I'm gonna read a scripture. It's not on there, but it says here, Hebrews 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So God, through the cross, has made a way for us to walk away from dead works and to actually, yeah, to be cleansed from that dead works that we're living in. And we, in the times that we're living in, if it's difficult times or if it's easy times to live in, whichever ways, sometimes the good times can be more difficult actually because we so much easily, well, we fall into dead works easier and we start just having a good life, but actually not necessarily the God life that he has called us to be walking in. So then there's the next point, the living temples of God. So obviously having this relationship with the cross, we can, yes, I'm talking against the rain here. Yes, this is amazing. Can you guys really hear me? Because I can't hear myself, eh? Should I just continue? Okay, the back row is on for it. Okay, I'll just continue then. So, being living temples of God, you all know the scripture, being a temple for God, we need to represent God. But God wants to pour out His Spirit through us and live and have us walk in that power. If I look at that, DVDs of Todd White, for example, at Bible school, like that guy just, you know, when he walks, wherever he walks, he just prays for people. And it's amazing how God just uses him because he's available to be used. And I mean, even if you go to SOS, which was Friday night, I'm sure Ian has got some amazing testimonies to share. And even the previous week that I was there, the previous month, I mean, it was amazing how God just, even though I was so intimidated by the situation, God just still comes through. He wants to use us. He wants to manifest his power through us because we are sons and daughters of the Almighty Living God. And there's a place, if we understand that, I mean, He wants us to live in that Godfidence, confidence in Him, and put our confidence in Him for Him to come through for us. And so we're not, there's a difference between a son and a slave here. That's probably the distinction we need to draw. Like a slave will just labor and feel like it's his obligation to serve this King and then be beaten up for it if he doesn't do it properly. Whereas a son can expect that provision, that protection, he can have that acceptance from the King because he's a son of the King, he's the next King. Obviously, we're not going to be kings one day. We'll always be princes because God is eternal and we're just falling into that. But, I mean, how amazing, guys. Sometimes we just miss this. It's just keep it simple, eh? So, yeah, the next one is the fruit that comes from having this confidence in Christ. So there's a couple of pointers that I laid out here, and I'm not a theologian, but I went through this with a couple of other people in church, so they said it's good. So there's obviously more to it than this, but this is just, you know, the fruit of having this true confidence in Christ and starting to understand who we are in Christ and our position in Him. That's the struggle we have with ourselves. It's either doing our own will or God's will, and it's, you know, the struggle we have. And
if we start tapping into God's provision for our lives and what He has done for us, our situations will fade out, and what people say of us will fade out, and we will start focusing on the long term, you know, on the eternal purpose of what we're doing now, and the, you know, the things that He calls us to do, being obedient to, we'll be able to do that. And so servant heart, embracing the cross, laying ourselves down. You know the scripture where God says He calls all of us to pick up our cross and follow Him and become servants. So that is a fruit, you know, even just being starting to serve in the church or wherever you are, just having that servant heart is fruits that comes from being confident in God. And then humility is one of those things that's really close to my heart as well. And there's the opposite also of humility is false humility. So often in my life, because I've been striving so much to find acceptance and things like that, and if a compliment would come or affirmation, people would say, "Hey, you're a good oak," you know, you're like, "Yeah," you know, or "I'm so proud of you." Even my dad, when he said, "I'm proud of me," I was like showing false humility. Instead of thank you, instead of saying, "Thank you, Dad, I appreciate it," I was like, "Oh, can I really, is he really proud of me? Or, you know, isn't there something I haven't done that he's probably going to criticize me on now?" And that was an issue in my heart that I need to sort out, you know. I'm flying down to Cape Town tomorrow, so I'm really excited about my first leave in a long time, and seeing my parents again, and I'm looking forward to give my dad a hug and actually say, "Hey, Dad, thanks for being my dad," you know. Because I believe God is starting to free me of this false humility, and God wants us to bring us into a place of being true, true humility. So 1 Peter 5 verse 5 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, so beautiful. Like he wants us to just to live humbly before Him as well. There's another scripture, Proverbs 22 verse 4, it says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." So through humility, there's this riches and honor and life that is promised to us. And another scripture as well, Colossians 2 verse 18. There's a couple of scriptures I haven't put on there for a good reason. It's only the ones that take notes, they'll get it. Like Ed there at the back. Nice. So Colossians 2 verse 18 says, let no one cheat you. Cheat, difficult word for Afrikaans ook. Let no one cheat you. of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, in intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So people with false humility or with pride in their hearts, you know, we often listen to people speaking and coming to us with a lot of different things, and it's so contrary to the pure gospel that can actually be brought to us. And it's sad to sometimes see people get caught up, even ourselves, so easily get caught up in this false humility or pride. So like I said, I'm sharing a lot of like personal experiences of myself here because I realize I'm so guilty of all of this stuff actually. But I want to walk free of this. I want to walk into a place where I can grab onto what God has called me for my life. If it would be to be a great businessman and to do it properly and righteously and, you know, to own a big business one day, and to run it God's way, why not, you know? But I've always seen myself as, I'll just run a little small business and maybe fail a few times and what. And, I'm just at a place in my life now where I want to go beyond what the opinions of man is, you know? And I'm trusting the Lord to open this to us tonight, that He is the one that is our strength. And another fruit of true confidence in Him is being teachable. So, you know, God will come and teach us. Even people around us will teach us. Like God will work through people in church. It's a good mechanism that He works through. So, for example, Proverbs 12 verse 1 says, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." So this is obviously a straightforward translation. But, you know, we need to accept the correction that comes in our lives. And if we put true confidence in God, we will be able to receive these things and from the right people as well. From people that can speak into our lives. And it's important, you know. We can't just run on our own. And then there's another one, the joy and the peace that comes through confidence in God. So our situations will fade out. We won't be affected so much by it. And God will bring us onto a highway that is open road for us to cruise on.
So, and that's quite encouraging for me, because I can walk in a joy and a peace that nobody can steal away from me if I put my confidence in Christ. There's a scripture here, Acts 16, verse 22 to 25, where Paul and his colleague, I'd say colleague, his missionary partner, is preaching the gospel in this town, and then the multitude, it says here, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So you can just imagine, these oaks just got beaten and got thrown into prison. They were just preaching the gospel in the streets, and people rose up against them and didn't accept what they were saying. And I ask myself, you know, yeah, in the middle of the night, they're lying bleeding in the dust. So, I mean, they haven't been cleansed. So there's a lot of, you can imagine, the jails of those days. We don't know how that must have been, but imagine. But yeah, they are still having that joy. They can sing unto God and say, Lord, we are in a good place. They have that joy and their peace in their hearts that God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter what people do to them. So that was quite encouraging to me. Scriptures like this. The word is really good, eh? To preach, you guys must all desire to preach, because it makes you get into the word. Start studying scriptures again, because it's really good. And then the last point here, the fifth one, is courage. So courage is probably the one that I want to focus on the most here. So there's a couple of things. This is actually just a couple of pointers that I took from Marnus' preach from last year in August, Courageous Family. I'm not sure if it's on the website, but it was a really good sermon. And before I go through some of those pointers, I just wanted to put it up there just to show you why it's important to have courage. So there's obviously courage, I felt, is applicable to this, because it's that outflow that comes from godly confidence. And if I had to think about my life, there's a couple of decisions that I've made in my life that I think was really God decisions, like getting married is a God decision. Some of the married couples here would know. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to decide that, but it was beyond me. It was that moment where I was completely like, Lord, if this is not you, this is not going to work. And even in marriage, you realize you need God. You need God for it. And you need courage to take this amazing thing on, you know, and steward this privilege. I can say that. So, I mean, we got married. I was a guide. And I had to resign from my job for various reasons. But, I mean, I was working. It was a great job to have. But I just realized, you know, I had to make this change. But it took a lot of courage me to step into the unknown, and we had to, with a lot of changes, we came to Durban last year, which has been such a blessing. It's been such a journey to be here and back in church after 5 years in the bush. And but I had to put my confidence and my trust in God in that time so much, and say, God, I can only do this with you. And he's come through for us. I mean, we both have amazing jobs, and we amazing friends, all of you. And it's really been a great year for us, the last year. Such a privilege, and it's just been God. So that's a place where in my life I know that the decisions we made there to come to Durban has been God-inspired, and it's been God giving us direction, and I'm thanking him. So there's nothing of my pride here tonight. Maybe one day I'll struggle with thoughts, but at least I'm claiming it tonight. It's all God. Maybe on that note, I want to go back to those slides with those photos that we skipped over earlier. Sorry, Thomas. The bunch of photos. It's a little bit back. Yeah, these ones. Yeah, this. So this is what I used to do for the 5 years of my life after varsity. And just jumping through some of them. I mean, it's just photos that I put together from all the different places that I went to in that year. I mean, the few years. So in the first year and a half, I did overlanding, they call it. So that's driving these trucks, overlanders, built custom-made to go anywhere with a kitchen and a fridge and mattresses and tents. etc. And so we went up to Kenya, Serengeti, Namibia, Zanzibar, Mozambican Islands, Victoria Falls, Zambian floods. It was amazing. It was really a nice job to have. And this one year, I was working on this private game reserve, walking around with a rifle, tracking lions, relocating cheetah, rhinos. It was just an amazing job to have. The sad thing is, this was the opposite of maybe the decision that I've made, that I just said, like, it was God choices. It was a bit of my confidence in God. A lot of, like, this is the provision from the provision that God is, or the path that I walked. But if I look back now, a lot of this that I've done, and during that time, I fell into a lot of pride because I just thought, yes, you know, I'm the man. You have your guests compliment you, and they sort of, I'm not saying worship you, but they're really like, you know, you have these very rich people on your vehicle, and they just listen to every word you're saying. You know, for the first time in my life, I was like, you know, people are really listening to me. It's just the challenge. Like, this is actually an amazing God story, but a part of my heart allowed it to become a prideful thing. And, I want to repent of that, because it's actually so beautiful to testify of it. It's amazing how God brought us to Durban and put me in a job that I'm now. I'm just on the phone and emails. People don't want to know anything about you. They just want the answers that you know, quick and easy. There's nothing about, so there's very little relationship happening. So it's just about meeting the target. Sales targets is all it is. So God has really humbled me and just brought me back to earth. And I had to realize, and I'm so thankful for it, this God choice that I made. And putting my confidence in the Lord, he's been faithful. And he actually brought me back to a place where I can look back at this amazing adventure of my life and see that it has been all him. It hasn't been me, like, stepping out and being confident and bold and I'm willing to go, and, you know. So, yeah, we can continue now. I just wanted to bring that in and show that as a place, you know, the opposite of how easily it can happen, because, yeah, it's just sad, eh? And then there's maybe another example I wanted to use as well, of just the courage. During my days at school, I was in Stellenbosch in a hostel, and got involved with Shofar and heard about the doctrine of getting baptized for the first time in my life. And it was a struggle, but I had to look at scripture, like Colossians 2 and Romans 6, scripture that says how we get baptized and what baptism is, and explaining the beauty of it and how significant it is. And the day that I got baptized, it was a Sunday afternoon, and I remember taking my bicycle, cycling up this massive hill up to in the swimming pool that we got baptized. It was just springtime, so the water was still really cold. But that was, for me, a moment in my life, cycling up this hill. I remember, like, nobody knew I was getting baptized. I couldn't tell my family at that stage that I was getting baptized, because speaking to my dad a few years later, he actually said, no, that wouldn't have been good. Obviously, their heart has changed a lot over the years. We grew up very conservatively, and they didn't understand that at the time, why I want to get baptized if I've been Christian as a baby, because it's the same thing, but it's not. But I had to make the decision at that stage, and it changed my life, because that's a defining place in my life where I put my confidence in God. I said, Lord, I'm doing this. I'm just going on your word now. I'm doing this. And it was such, I remember, like, cycling, and I was just so much, there was so much joy in me and freedom. And I don't know if you guys that was baptized in the last while can remember all the joy of it, you know. There's so much freedom that comes through things like that, you know. So it takes a bit of courage, because I had this thing with my family that didn't really want this or accepted this. Even like I said earlier, when I joined the church, my dad was really concerned. But I made the decision, and he said, and you know, he was concerned that I might not be able to get married the traditional way. So then I assured him, it's fine, it's a kosher church, it's gonna all work out. But, you know, I took that courage and I said, I'm going to commit to this church. I'm going to commit. I'm not just going to be a drifter, because, you know, nothing is perfect ever. I'm not going to just fly around wherever people send me, or my family even. I'm going to make decisions in my life. And that's been big decisions. The baptism and getting married has been some of the biggest decisions I've made. Don't know about you guys. But so, yeah, that's just some encouragement. So just to add on maybe to what, just to expand a bit on what Manus preached here, and courage, that we need courage to pass the tests on our path, and just adds on to, I guess, a bit of my testimony as well. And overcoming affliction, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 4 to 10 says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." Oh, so we can overcome this affliction that we can have in the world. I think we're having pretty comfortable lives comparing to people living at the moment in Syria and all these abductions happening in other places in our continent. We've got freedom of speech, which is amazing, and we've got to thank God for that, but we need to, I guess we should use it a bit more, and we do. Now that Hebrews, that be staying content is the next one, the Hebrews 13 verse 5 to 6, I'm also going to read it for you. "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" So it speaks of confidence and boldness and that courage that comes from, you know, finding our security. There's a lot of different terminologies I'm throwing in here, but it just ties up to the same thing at the end. It's God. It's all about him. Taking our focus off ourselves, putting it on him. And there's a scripture here, Hebrews 10 verse 24 to 39 that I've put on here, that courage to persevere. It says here, "For you had compassion on me and my chains and joyfully accept the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring position for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For it's a little while, and he will come, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we who are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe for the saving of the soul." So life's a journey, and there's a lot of things that gets thrown at us, and the challenge is not to draw back. A lot of people come to Christ and they said, "Yes, Lord, I'm here." The challenge is just to grow in him, to keep our eyes focused on him, and not to get so often, people get so discouraged along the way. I've heard so many friends of mine at school, within the first few months of, they got disappointed with this new religion that they accepted, and they completely backslid. And I don't know where some of them are now, but there's a journey as a Christian that we can grow in, where we can all see each other in heaven one day, which is long time from now, time for some of us. Maybe, you know, some of us will grow to 80 years old. And I mean, that's a long time from now still, even though some of us are a bit older than others, but we're all still relatively young here tonight. So, yeah, there's a place where we look forward to this coming of Christ, you know, and finding our confidence in him, enduring till the end. So, almost finished. Are you guys all with me still? Yes. Lauren is bowing her head in deep prayer. He's taking notes though. No, I can't see what you're doing. I'm joking. Sorry. Just going to put people on the spot. I like doing that, eh? I have a tendency of putting people on the spot, especially in a small group. Oh, hey, Dawn. But it's good. That's where we grow, I guess. Eh? So the next slide, just to give us some pointers on how to grow in confidence. I hope you're all starting to grasp what I'm trying to say here tonight. I'm not a teacher, but I'm just... Yeah, I guess I'm pastoral. Some people say I'm pastoral, so I'll claim that. Is that we should focus on God and lay down these distractions in our lives. And if there's things tonight that God is speaking to you already now while you're sitting here and you're thinking, "Yo, I've been holding on to these things in my life. I've been treasuring some of these things and they've actually become idols in my heart because they give me confidence." If God has to strip you today of everything you have, almost like in Job, whether, you know, he got stripped of everything, but God had confidence in Job so much that he knew that Job will still be confident in the Lord despite anything. So he got hit with a lot of affliction. I think Job is the guy in the Bible that got hit with the most stuff. And so that's the challenge for us. Are you guys okay at the back there? Is the kettle manifesting or something? It's happening. Okay. So, I'm just so challenged with this, eh? And if there's something that you are holding on to tonight, if it's a degree that you have in your life, that's also something you've got to let go. If it's your job, something you'll have to be willing to let go. I'm not saying tonight do not resign from your job tomorrow and go full-time ministry. Just it's a point. Our jobs are ministries in itself already, and that's a good thing. I'm really thankful for a job. I think of everybody here, I think I'm really thankful for my job. So, but what do we find our confidence in? Is it the things we do? Is it the things we've done? Is it the things we're hoping to do in the next few years? Or earning the money that we earn? Is that giving us confidence? If God has to take all our money away and we're left with nothing, what are we? We're still going to be confident and say, Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. I've got a relationship with this King, and nobody can take that away from me, and that's enough. I think we're living in the Western world, so easily get, that's very easy to get distracted with all the stuff that gets added onto us. And I guess it was easy for me in a way, living in the bush. I was really enjoying it because there was a place where I also really found God there, and he took me away from all the stuff that I used to experience down in Stellenbosch, the striving thing. So I had to go through my own little journey. And thankfully now I can say, God, thank you for this. Thank you for this amazing opportunity. And I can start testifying for the first time now after being out of the bush for a while. And the thing is, the bush stories used to be, even recently, like if I'm talking to people and they want to go to the, go on safari, I'm like the first one to throw a hint in there that I was a guide and I can give them some advice and, maybe throw a hint in there that, I used to do some crazy stuff in the bush that I probably am not allowed to talk to over this mic, but I used to be naughty as well. But there was that bragging rights. I don't know if you guys have ever been in the bush before and you've had tourists. I don't want to name any nationalities tonight, but there are specific nationalities as well that come onto safari and they just take photos. That's all they do. Chick, 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 and they go. And there's like, if you see the animations like Madagascar, etc., you can see how well it's depicted. Tourists just coming in, taking the photos, going home and showing the families, oh, we've seen the Big Five. It's big bragging rights. So they'll pay a lot of money to come here just to see the Big Five, miss the butterflies, pretty. But they just want to see the Big Five. It's so sad. And that was sometimes my main goal in Game Drive, to just like get them, just reorientate them and saying, guys, I know there's a Big Five, but between the Big Five, we're going to do some other stuff as well. He's going to blow your mind. God's amazing. And I'm getting off the topic now, but it's just, God is really, while I was there, I just, really found, it was a part of me that got away from all these distractions of this world. So sometimes we also individually need to make time. And that's this, I guess it comes down to how to grow in confidence, spending time with God. So in this lifestyle we're having now, some of us doing the 7-to-7 jobs, 7 days a week or whatever. We're burdened with a lot of stuff. We've got all these stresses on our hearts. We've got families to look after. But it's crucial to make time for God and to spend time in His presence and to walk in that discipline. So I guess that comes down to the next topic, which is obedience. So there's a place of being completely obedient to God. And there's a couple of scriptures here, like Romans 6 verse 16 says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness." So this scripture is not on there, so I'm going to read it again to you that just listening. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Okay? Whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. So the challenge was for us to obviously being obedient to God, leading to ultimate righteousness in Him. And there's obviously, there's different ways of being, there's different aspects and key pointers in the Bible of being obedient. For me, and for all of us as a basis, there's baptism and there's things like that, practical stuff, and spending time with the Lord. But there's certain individual things that the Lord wants to say to each one of us to be obedient to and say, Don, that friend of yours, you need to walk away from that relationship. Or, you know, we'll use too many examples. Or Thomas, you've got to leave that job, you're going to do that. Or there's certain, and I know, obviously God will bring confirmation to things like that as well. And it's big steps often, but God wants us to live beyond our own abilities, beyond our own capabilities and our own dreams, and start focusing on His abilities and things. And there's a lot of principles in the Bible that brings us closer to that obedience. So I want to encourage all of you. There's another scripture, 1 John 4 verse 20. It says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, who is in heaven, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So that's just the basic. I mean, that's getting back to basics, just loving each other. That's the basic of obedience. So if you've got something against somebody, forgive and move on and love. Love and all these aspects, the fruit of the Spirit, that's basic things in our faith that can challenge, I think, some of us quite a bit, especially if it comes to forgiveness or things like that. And then the other one is to be open, receptive, teachable. I've just found often, you know, we have certain mindsets about certain things. If it's baptism, for example, I'm going to use that again as an example, but it's been a heavy one in church often. If we start just using the word baptism, you think like, oh, here we go again into a big debate. But often we just got to come back. We got to come back to the Word and say, this is the truth and this is life. Let's open my heart for what God says. So there's things like that that comes in, and it's, I reckon this is a matter of urgency for all of us, where we don't become complacent, where we realize there's a matter of urgency, like I said, and become intentional about it. To say, Lord, I want to be God-fident. I don't want to be self-righteous anymore. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I don't want to do my own thing anymore. And I want to have my identity based on things that I've done in the past. Lord, I'm intentional about this thing now. I'm going to change. I'm laying myself down. I'm surrendering. And that's what I want to challenge you all on tonight. Encourage you. So, yeah, we basically finished. I'm just, you know, back to walking in the Spirit, put no confidence in the flesh. There's a place where we can all just lay down our flesh aside and put our confidence in God. If it's getting married, if it's getting baptized, whatever it is in your life as well, there's certain things that you guys are going through at this very moment that's challenging you. There's a place where we stand together. That's another point that I actually put down there. To stand together and to support each other. It just speaks of accountability, basically, for each other, to look out for each other. And then just the last slide. Back to the little butterfly, golden band, and Forrester. At the end, God gets the glory anyways. Yeah, the band can come up. So, as I mentioned, I'm going to draw a parallel between the butterflies and us. But a butterfly is beautiful, but it just speaks of plain beauty. God's creation, it's beyond itself. It's just beautiful. And I believe God wants to bring each one of us individually to a place where He can use us and the world can look at us and say, wow, that's beautiful. Where we walk in that humility, we walk in that joy and that peace, we walk in that, all those things that I pointed out earlier, that courage mostly, where the world is completely stunned. I mean, I'm just looking forward to the days when the army of the Lord that's mentioned in Joel 2 will just rise up and we are just so ready for it.